Hello there. We welcome you to Discussing the Truth broadcast. We're coming to you live from Birmingham, Alabama, this second day of February in the year of our Lord, 2017. I'm your announcer, Antonio Green. Our host for this broadcast is Pastor James A. Dansby, and our co-host is Minister Kevin Pierce. We have Minister Milton Dudley on the panel today as well. Welcome back, brother. Thank you for being here.
Amen.
And it's our prayer that God the Father, through Jesus Christ his Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will speak truth to your hearts. Pastor Dan.
Amen. God bless you, Tony. We thank God for this opportunity. Another opportunity.
Yes,
praise
yes,
God.
Yes. Amen. Yes. What a
blessing. God bless God's truth. Amen. It is the truth of God that truly sets us free.
Amen.
And we thank God for the opportunity to, once again, just to be able to share with our audience, you know, what God has said about his word and how to help us to be better Christians, better believers in this world that sometimes seems to be so topsy-turvy. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. We know that the Lord, he reigns. He's still in control. He's a sovereign God. And we're thankful. We're thankful that we are children of that almighty sovereign God. Amen. Praise God. We just, you know, well, we better start with prayer. Have we prayed yet, brothers?
No.
Okay, well, I'm fixing to get into this broadcast.
Hey, I'm
jumping at the gun here. Amen. Let's have prayer. Mr. Pierce, God bless you, my brother. Ask God's blessing upon our broadcast and upon our the hearers of the broadcast today. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray.
Yes, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time.
Bless you, Lord.
We thank you for this broadcast. We thank you for the just the work that you've laid before us and allowed us to work together with you concerning this ministry, dear Lord. We thank you for those that are listening. We thank you for the burden that you've put on our heart concerning this subject today, dear Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And just allow us to discuss your truth today, dear Lord.
Yes.
The way that you want it discussed, no matter how tender the subject, dear Lord, allow those to hear so they can grow up in the Lord and receive your truth to live a better life according to your will. And we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise God. Thank God. Brother, we're going to continue on in this lesson that we've been looking at, basically the moral standards that God has set, not only for his children, for the children of God, but for the world. God made everything that's in the world, and of course, God's, you know, his intention was this world would be a blessing, you know, to mankind. It has gone in a different direction, and we all know that. And we are trying to, you know, look at the Word of God, make comparison with the Word of God and what is happening in our midst as far as the moral spiral, demoralization of our society and the role, the part the church plays in this spiraling down. Now, let's call it that, okay? Amen. Because I think there's enough blame to go around everywhere here.
It is true.
Just the people in the world, which basically don't really understand what God's standards are, but also the church. Amen?
Amen.
And but let me ask a question. I want to ask each of you guys a question before we even get started. Which sin is the worst? The sin of commission or the sin of omission? Brother Tony, what do you think? Which one is worse? Sin of commission, sin of omission?
Well, Pastor, it may sound like a cop out, but I think it's a pretty even keel with the sin of omission and commission, because not doing something, even the law of the world says today, if I see you assaulting or molesting a 6-year-old kid and I idly stand by and watch, I'm just as guilty as you who's committing this sin. You're the committer, I'm the omitter.
Okay.
But then that's in the world's eyes, and I can honestly say that I would think
in God's eyes,
God as holy as the God of the universe, the God we serve, would have to see it in a similar manner.
Okay, Brother Pierce, which one you believe, brother, is, you know, the worst, committing a sin or omitting?
if I had to pick between the two, I would say the sin of commission. And the reason why is
that?
Because once we know better, we should do better.
Mm-hmm.
Once we've been awarded or afforded some type of responsibility, then the Bible teaches that there will be more stripes upon that person who knows better as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe if we know it, just like we studied in James yesterday, that we deceive ourselves when we don't do it.
Okay, so the action itself, you say the action, committing, you believe that's worse.
Yes.
Okay, well, brother Milton, what you say?
You know, I think about it, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like Paul said. He said, I did not know sin until the law said, thou shalt not covet. And so, you know, we're ignorant from the start in a lot of things. But the Lord said, I put my word in your heart that you know right from wrong.
Right, right.
But some people look past that ignorance, and we hadn't been taught.
Right.
So
right.
As far as the teaching part, the telling you, thou shalt not covet.
Okay.
You know, I kind of lean toward that situation as far as the teaching and the telling of right and wrong, even though Lord put it in our heart now to a certain point there.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Well, the reason I asked the question, brother, is because, you know, the I believe the church has sit idly by and watched the spiraling down of our moral compass here in the world today, and we have remained quiet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do God look at that? We have omitted standing up, doing what we know God's word tells us to do, and that is to dispense truth when lies and darkness try to come in our midst or come in the world and take over the world. It's our duty as children of light, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Right. And to be a stand-up, Pastor. God, his children, his church should be a standard in living in morality for the rest of the world, for the lost and dying world. Now, our Lord said judgment would start at the household of God. So if you sit by and idly did nothing, you're still accountable for not doing anything.
Amen. So, but you know, the excuse that many of our brothers that say they're Christians for not standing up for right, you know, what they know the Bible says is because they don't want to cause any trouble.
Mm. Well, the trouble has already started, Pastor. I mean, that is trouble, isn't it? Living in immorality and doing things that are totally opposed to God and his word.
Brother Pierce,
wouldn't you say the trouble started?
Right. What do you say, Brother Pierce?
I say to have that word that can save us, that can increase us.
Better us. Yes.
Right. And keep it to yourself.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a tragedy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look at Matthew 5 one more time. We looked at it all last week, but let's quickly look at Matthew 5 and let's see what the
14,
responsibility God has put upon us as Christians. You know, in this world that seems to be spiraling down morally,
out of control.
You know. Okay. What does Matthew 5:14 says, brother? Read that for me, one of y'all, please.
I don't think we have it here. We got 5:32. Let's look at it right quick. It won't take but a second.
Okay, Matthew 5:13. Okay, take a look at that.
All right. Matthew 5:1-3, and it reads.
Get 14. Yes.
Okay. Right. Okay. You are the light of the world.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid.
Okay.
Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel.
Right.
But on a candlestick.
Okay.
And it giveth light unto all that are in the house.
Amen.
So let your light so shine before men.
Okay.
That ye may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Let your light shine.
That's what.
Amen.
Said.
Okay. So when there is that moral, you know, spiraling down in the world for as the moral conditions of the world, we have a light. Shouldn't we put that light on that dark situation?
Absolutely.
And try to show them that there is a better way, a right way, and a better way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got a quote, Pastor. You just said, you know, we get a lot of ministers and church leaders who say they idly stand by because they don't want to cause trouble, or they don't want to stir the ant bed, so to say.
Right. Okay. Okay.
But now, if they were called of God, to preach and teach His word,
to be like
God openly told us in his words that those types of things were going to happen, that trouble was going to come if you stand on. But are you still doing the will of God?
If you are light and darkness come against you, isn't that light going to shine anyhow?
Yeah.
Darkness can't put
out a light.
If you are that light, can you put well, the Bible talks about trying to cover that light too, don't you?
Yeah, put it on the bush.
On the bush.
On the bush. Mm-hmm.
And that's wrong. He said we're not supposed to do
that. That's right. Absolutely.
But isn't that what's happening when you say that?
Absolutely.
I don't want to cause any trouble. I don't want to be negative. I don't want to stir the pot.
Pastor, I think it's more so, instead of the cause any trouble thing, it's the consequences that trouble may bring. Like shortening of numbers, decrease in funds, those types of things.
Okay, but Milton, does the Bible say they that live godly will suffer what?
Persecution.
Amen. You know, and getting back to from the start, you know, looking at this, you know, the church role in the demoralization of the family and society.
Right.
You know, we are the church.
Okay.
And our teaching and our Christian teaching is supposed to be started at home with the family.
Sure.
You know, and I can think back to when we was coming up. We was ignorant and didn't know, but mom them taught us from the start.
The best they knew.
Yes,
they did.
To sit down at the dinner table, the breakfast table, and said, Lord, bless this food. God, thank you for it.
Better not try to eat without blessing food.
So that training and that teaching,
Lord, thank you.
Haven't even got started or been started in a lot of our families.
Sure. A different generation, different society than what was when we came up. When God was at least respected that much, where you wouldn't, if we tried to sit down and eat food and without saying the blessing, Lord, you would get wrapped upside the head.
Well, you said in the beginning, Pastor, there's enough blame to go around for everybody.
But now we're
talking about the church's responsibility.
Okay, what 1 Timothy 3:15 says then?
Okay.
1 Timothy 3:15. We're talking about the church's responsibility. Now, God holds the church, I believe, responsible for much of the demise of morals in the world today.
Well, you would kind of have to, Pastor, if he says the church is to be the standard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 1 Timothy 3:15.
Yes, read it for me, please.
It said, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou art to behave thyself in the house of God. Mm.
Okay.
Which is the church of the living God.
Living God.
The pillar. And ground of truth.
Okay. It's the headquarters.
That's the headquarters.
Huh? The church is where God has deposited His truth.
His truth.
Right. And He holds us responsible for dispensing that truth. Go ye therefore, Matthew 28, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go ye therefore in all the world. Teach. Preach.
That's right.
Dispense.
That's right.
My truth. Is that our job?
Amen.
That's our job.
Well, brother, I mean, the brothers told me that they don't want to cause no problems, you know. And, you know, I mean, I realized a long time ago, brother, I am a problem. When God saved me, I became a problem. Huh?
It wasn't by choice either.
It wasn't by choice.
Okay.
I like getting along with
people. Amen.
I've told the Lord many times, Lord, why everywhere I go, I'm into an argument all the time.
Well, would you rather get along with people or with God?
I'd rather get along.
Because that's the choice.
Amen.
That's the situation.
Yeah, but that's true. But I've been living with these people a long time, and I just got to know God a little while ago, so you know what I mean?
There's a conflict right now. Conflict in answer.
Amen.
Well, still, Pastor, we'll go a little farther with that. You've been living with these people, in the end, believing what the book says.
Okay.
You gonna live with it long? Is eternity or 40 years? Which one is longer?
Eternity. Amen.
We have a decision to make.
I understand.
That's why the Bible tells us to count the cost.
Right.
Because following the Lord is gonna bring you. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, some
trouble. But we had a well-known minister here in Birmingham. They was interviewing him yesterday concerning the violence in Birmingham. The murders. Two young kids got shot in the same day here just recently, and he was asked, "What can the church do?" And the pastor, a well-known pastor in this city, he made this remark. Well, what we need to do is come together. The community need to come together with the church. We need to try to supply more the needs of the children and so forth. But not one thing was said concerning Jesus Christ being the center, the son, and we need to rally around Christ and that he might give us a new heart and a new mind. That wasn't even mentioned. Is that the proper response? Baby? I mean, what do we need to do to quell the violence in our neighborhoods? And Brother Pierce, what do you think? Yeah, that's a prime example of what we're talking about concerning the media asked the popular pastor, what's the answer?
Okay, what's the answer?
What's
to the
church role? That was
basically
role.
What it was. What, okay, church role.
Basically, the pastor responded in a kind of society fixed type of way.
World system.
He didn't answer the question in the duty in which he's ordained to do.
Right.
Which is dispense the word of God.
Right. Well, Brother Pierce, the Lord is looking upon us, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Amen.
And, remember me, brother.
Deny me before me.
How about me?
What
was that?
Deny me before me.
Oh, and I will what?
Amen. Yeah, I will deny you
before my
Father. Oh, right. Amen. Amen. Amen, bro. Amen. There you go.
So the churches have failed to
sleep on the job.
Surely we have. Amen.
Amen.
And therefore, the judgment of God has come upon the church. I do believe with all my heart, because the Bible says that judgment began where? 1 Peter 4:17. It begins at the household of God. And I believe today the suffering, because in that same chapter, Peter, we saw, they talk about suffering all the way through that chapter.
All the way through.
I believe that the shame, the scorn, the disrespect the church is getting today is simply because we have failed.
Amen.
The young boys used to say when I was a kid, you punked out, man.
That's right.
You had an opportunity to step up to the plate, didn't you?
Well, Pastor, this is something that's not foreign to the world as far as the immorality coming about, the immoral living and lifestyle.
Okay.
And even before, I wasn't there, but history tells us that there was a great awakening before.
Sure.
But what brought it on? The word of God.
Now
everybody trying to fix it with social programming.
Right.
Something that interests them and all this stuff. And nothing's going to fix it but the word of God.
Supply more books and pencils.
Okay.
Backpack books and pencils will be enough to jumpstart you and to motivate you.
Even this equal playing field they talking about.
Okay.
You know, because we're talking a lot about our communities. And the black people in general, not that we're excluding anyone. It's sin. It knows no color.
But
we need to give them a equal opportunity, more chance for education. You finna pollute Harvard and Yale and Dartmouth and everywhere else if you don't give them the truth.
But the reason I often will say the black community is because there's a disproportionate amount of violence. Mm-hmm. Per capita population.
Amen. We can't deny it.
Not only in this city, but in the whole United States.
We cannot deny it.
You know, and the numbers don't tally up, gentlemen.
Right.
There's something wrong in our community.
Amen.
Brother, what you think?
If the news was talking to a psychologist that day, then I could understand
the response. That answer he gave.
If he was talking to a school teacher or even a politician.
We expect them to intellectualize it.
Mm-hmm. But the point that we're making
is that the church's duty is
to dispense a different type of medicine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The truth.
Uh-huh.
The truth of the Lord.
Which we've been given.
Mm-hmm. Which we have only been
given.
See, that's the thing. You own it. You don't expect that from a psychologist or a teacher or a politician.
No, you won't
get
it.
The only place you will get it is the church. It's from the preacher man.
Amen.
But yet, he didn't say anything about his duties, about what he is here to do, about the answer.
And what God said to Israel, he says to us today, you only have I known.
Oh, boy.
Boy, that's a heavy. You only, Israel, have I known. Among all the nations, I favored you. And the church, the same thing we said about the church.
Right.
Because, see, we're in the new covenant now.
Right.
Okay.
It's a new covenant. It's the church now. We're in the spotlight. Amen.
In other words, if we don't do it, then who will?
Okay.
And the church has failed at, too.
Okay. Okay.
It's like we have let the drug dealer come in and talk with our children on the street and in the church.
Right.
And they looking at the glamour and the stars that he have. Instead of the preacher man preaching the word of God.
That's right.
Like I said, the preacher man has been with the church involved in letting so many of these programs come through our midst.
Instead
of the word of God.
It's been the program.
Been the program.
Right. Amen. But the immoral revolution, brother, it was in the church as well as in the world. We just can't say in the world.
Amen.
Because I've been in church all my life. I grew up in church. I've been in every Christmas play. I don't play Pilate. I don't play Judas. I don't play Jesus. I don't play all of them in the different plays, you know. But I know that there, even in our church, there was people living immoral lifestyle.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
I mean, from sexual immorality to selling whiskey, selling drugs, the bootleggers, everything was in the church. But no one was ever chastised, ever excommunicated, you know, for these sins, as the Bible say they should be.
Let me give you an example.
Example.
Steve Harvey and T.D. Jakes. Let's talk about T.D. Jakes first.
Right.
T.D. Jakes has a talk show.
Right.
This man is a mega pastor of one of the...
Mega pastor.
He's a man of God.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But here he is, have a Dr. Phil style of a talk show.
Yes.
And
yes.
There's no...
Absent of what?
There you go. Any mention.
How can you do that?
And you, God's man.
How can you do it, Bill?
You can't do it.
Isn't that doing something to the church as a whole? And somebody may say, well, he's just saying it in a way that the media will accept it people will hear it.
That's all right for Dr. Phil.
Right.
Yeah.
But not for the preacher.
Not for the preacher.
That's right.
There we go.
You can't serve God in mammon, brother.
No way.
We either got to make a decision. We got to make a choice. Who's on the Lord's side?
Right.
Come over here.
Okay.
That's what Moses said. Go ahead, brother.
Steve Harvey, the second example I'm giving on why this is messed up is because Steve Harvey is a professing Christian.
Yes, he is.
He claims Christ and the Father,
but yet, he will
give you a 90-day rule. He doesn't speak against fornication
or abstinence.
Yeah.
Okay.
He condones this 90-day rule when he counseled these women about what they should and should not do.
Do you see the
hypocrisy and the confusion?
Well, the church has hurt us so much in that area, gentlemen. I mean, we know sin starts at a level, but it progresses always. It always progresses. And we teach instead of abstinence.
Yes.
We'll pass out condoms in the church and talk about safe sex.
Yeah. Mm.
But you know, the Lord said,
yes, Lord.
Many will say, Lord, then I prophesy in thy name.
Then I
feed the homeless.
Pass out condoms.
If we said what God said, then we've been in a lot of better shape than what we are today.
God said, abstain from sexual relationship until you are what?
Married.
Married.
And now we got to put a part B on there. Married between a man and a woman.
Oh, yeah. We got to definitely be careful there, amen? But the church has been afraid to condemn the sexual improprieties that in the church for years, brother. And they know it's been there. Everybody in the church knew when I was a kid.
That's right.
That Deacon so-and-so was going with Deacon so-and-so's wife. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it wasn't no big secret. That Brother so-and-so had a child by Sister so-and-so up in the choir, and she already got a husband. Mm-hmm. Everybody know it. Yeah. You know, when the kid walked down the aisle, everybody looking. They talk it over on the deep, you know.
Right.
So everybody knew it, and definitely it should have been not hid in the dark to incubate.
Absolutely.
Incubate.
Oh,
and,
boy.
And say, which is what it is. You know, because that thing is spread, man.
That's right.
A little leaving
the whole lump. It does.
Like old body, not body fighting, so you got to nip it in the bud.
Nip it in the bud.
If you don't nip it in the bud, it's going to grow.
It's cancerous.
It's cancerous. And it's going to affect others, because it's a spiritual thing.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
And we know from the Book of Acts, brother, them spirits will jump on you, won't they?
Every time. Yes, they will. Yes, they will.
That's the word of God, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. But the church has failed to condemn being afraid for many reasons, brother. I think most pastors are afraid because they don't want to cut their meal ticket off. And, they get a nice little salary. And like the brother in the parable said, I'm too lazy to work. So, I got to make friends with unrighteous mammon.
Jordan. You know that parable?
Yeah.
I'm going to make friends.
That's right.
You won't fail. You won't fail. When you do fail.
Well, when you go out past the shopping and voting, man, never been called of God.
Okay, right.
But this was Bishop Jones' son, and we just always knew one day this would be his church.
Oh, yeah. Chip off the block.
You know, all these things, instead of, my Bible tell me that God builds it. He's building the church.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And, it's a privilege.
Well.
And an honor when he calls you to serve in it.
Yeah, so. Well, but you know, they're under impression today because your daddy was a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
And God didn't use that technique with Eli, with them two bad boys he had.
Not only
did he say they wouldn't fit, he went on kill
them. To make sure you ain't had no idea.
To make sure they don't move. Amen.
That's right. You know, it makes me think about when Tony mentioned that, you know, in some churches, even, you know, where the husband that was a pastor passed.
Okay.
Right. And so, she's the wife. So she's gonna be the pastor.
Oh boy, that's not saying
that the sister ain't saved. But God should have a man ordained.
God has an order.
We don't endorse women pastors, brother.
No,
we won't make that plain right now. I can't tell God who to call to preach.
Amen.
The Bible is plain that man is to be the head in the family and his church. In the church, you know. And so, but yeah, that's what they do, Mill.
That's what they do.
They put well, it's like a family heirloom. They turn it into a business. You know, the preacher, I was there 30 years. I built that church.
That's the best way to put it. They treat it like a business.
Yeah, they treat it just like a business, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but the church has failed to show the difference between what marriage is, you know, true marriage it is, and which is ordained of God, and then what civil unions are. Just old civil unions. Let's look at Genesis 1:20.
Yeah, the church might be confused, but the Bible is clear.
The Bible is clear.
Genesis 1:28 says, and God blessed them.
Okay.
And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Well, we got to go up one.
Okay, go up.
Well, it says, so God created man in his own image.
Okay.
In the image of God created
male
he them.
Male and what?
Male and female created he them.
Male and female.
And then God blessed them in 28.
Okay.
And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply.
Okay.
And replenish the earth and subdue it.
Uh-huh.
And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon earth.
Well, we got two males married in the churches today.
That's right.
In churches, by the preachers that say God called them. How can you say God called you and the order is male and female? You know what it says?
That's
the gender, brother. Have God authorized us to change the gender?
Last I checked, God said you better not change nothing.
Nothing.
We're not one jot or tittle.
Okay.
And don't add or subtract.
Well, brother, I mean, they say that society is changing. That's what the preacher said. That it's changing. So we have to.
It is.
He may be right.
But God's word never changes.
Okay.
The church has helped change it. He said, I'm doing that.
And that's a problem.
Yeah. So the church is guilty of partaking,
co-signing
in this unlawful, immoral practice, which the word of God is very clear. Why can you, brother? Let me ask y'all a question now. Y'all be cool a minute, okay? Be cool now. Let's put the card on the table here.
Okay.
How can you say God call you? You're a Christian first. I was a Christian before I was a minister.
Amen.
That didn't happen to me all at one time.
Mm-hmm.
First, God saved me.
Amen.
And then afterward, God called me to preach. Well, how can you say that you are called of God to salvation or called of God to teach, to preach, and you go directly against the word of God? How can you do that and say you're a saved person? Now, y'all explain that to me, because really, I'm just a country boy here out of Birmingham, y'all. I need a little help on that.
The Lord said, if you love me.
Oh, boy.
You'll keep my commandments.
Some of them, all of them, part of them.
All of my commandments. Not part, not compromising. There ain't no compromising.
Maybe God's terminology is hard to understand.
No, that's plain.
Male, female.
That's plain.
Man, woman.
Is that plain?
That's plain.
Okay.
You're trying your best to get them out, though.
I'm trying to help them out, brother. I can't understand. And how is it that Christian people, lay people sitting in the audience, they go along with that?
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Also, mm-hmm. and then like Pilate, they wipe their hands, mm-hmm. you know,
try to
exonerate themselves, and you mm-hmm. know, is that gonna work, brothers?
No, it's not.
Do you think the blood was all Pilate's hands?
No.
Okay, now and then.
See, if I would have found it.
Okay, all right.
No, God will.
That's right. That's now, right. when the little Obergefell ruling first passed.
Okay.
And you know, praise God that he put on our hearts to go to the courthouse and stand for him.
Okay.
You know, and myself and Minister Pierce were out back at the courthouse witnessing to some people. You were there. It was a large crowd.
Right.
And
right.
they had a minister. This is a true story, he was there to be on like his president Obama said on the right side of history
yes.
to marry these same sex couples
yes.
and Minister Pierce, I believe, was asked him how long had he been a minister. He said he went online about three weeks prior. Now he's down there in a collar and all this.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. he looked
about 3 weeks
yeah,
prior
that's true.
To the ruling passing
mm-hmm.
just
mm-hmm.
for this event.
That's
Amen.
What he said.
He went online and they made him a priest.
Oh yeah, they send him. He got paperwork.
I forgot about
he
that.
He got paperwork,
but he didn't get the envelope.
No,
it was an envelope came with that. He didn't get it, and it was a one-way ticket to hell.
He got it. He might not know yet.
Okay.
Yes, but he got it.
He got it.
If he don't repent, he got it.
Brother, yeah, that is a true story.
Yes.
And he was down there married.
Yes.
Gave up.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Because he's a preacher to do it.
Well brother.
That's what he said.
Brother, that is a blatant disregard, slapping God's face.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
To distort God's word like that. But yet, still, people in the church every Sunday, every week,
mm-hmm.
are silent.
Wow.
In saying no to this type of practices and still say they are serving God. Mm. Is something wrong with this picture?
Can you be silent, Pastor?
Can you
truly well, call
okay,
of God?
Can you? I'm saved. And I've been a troublemaker ever since I've been saved, brother. I mean, I ain't tried to be a troublemaker. I was in school. I was in college taking some courses.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when things came up that, you know, went against the word of God, you know, I had to say something.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
And
Amen.
Everybody in the class Amen. Looked at me like,
you look at him.
Huh? Where the Flintstone come from?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but
yeah.
I couldn't help it though.
Yeah.
I didn't want to make no waves. But when you save,
you are, yeah,
huh?
It's not up to
that's
you.
That's hard to say.
And
still.
I don't have no suicide pact. I don't have no
death wish or anything.
Like that. But when you save, God put truth down in your heart.
That's right.
Even if they kill me,
I gotta say it. Mr. Dudley
mm-hmm.
Had a testimony at one of our services here.
Okay.
One day about some things that was going on his job, and a lot of the guys were sitting around talking about how lucky they were.
See,
the Holy Spirit, little simple things when you're truly mm-hmm. saved.
Right.
When
Let
God
me.
Has truly saved you.
Let
he
me.
Couldn't sit there and let them attribute what was going on to look.
To look.
As though God is on vacation or something.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, it was God. It was God.
You
he
know, and thinking about that when we mentioned that about the church and how
mm-hmm.
Ministers and nobody is speaking out about
fornication
or homosexual
well,
whatever.
That's where it started with fornication.
You know,
Amen.
And one of those problems is... Sister Mary,
yes,
her grandson is homosexual.
Oh,
no. that's why she won't speak
that'll
up.
Silence. You mean, yes, is that the Sister Mary that got her name on that pew number 3?
That's her.
The pal of them good ties there.
And see, so many have yeah. relatives, you know, whether it's grandsons, sons, daughters,
oh,
or whatever, that is in this lifestyle
okay.
that they don't want to speak out.
Okay.
And like the word of God in truth and love.
Yes.
To let them know.
Right. But now, Sister so-and-so, give the pastor $1,000 for anniversary.
That's
the minister of music too.
Oh yeah, yeah,
if,
yeah,
he,
yeah.
if he
that's
pick
right.
up his piano and go to, I guess your church gonna shut down. I guess
we won't be able to pray
with them pink fingernails up there. But now I don't know if any of y'all have. It may be a misprint in my Bible or something. But it's something in my Bible about if I'm not willing to forsake mama, dad, and sister.
Oh,
brother.
Okay. okay.
You know, it may that may have been a Shakespeare book I read.
No, brother, I made it about. Yeah, I just like to believe. Maybe that page fell out of the book. Maybe, you know, but it's in the Bible. Yeah,
amen.
We know it's in the Bible.
Amen. In other words, we have no excuse.
Our job as ministers and teachers is to teach.
Mm-hmm. Teach what? The word of God.
The truth. So that people can know what God's standard is and know how we are to live before this world and to affect them in a positive way by the way we live and the way we, you know, stand for the word of God. But brother, that has not worked. Amen?
Amen.
But you can't call a marriage unless it's a man and a woman.
Man and a woman.
Okay.
It is not really a marriage unless it's male and female, and that is not only just male and female, but it's performed with a mind and a heart looking at your Creator and believing in the Lord, you know, to direct and to guide you and to prosper your marriage and the fruits of your womb, the body and everything.
In other words, a union without Christ is not a marriage.
Is that what you're saying?
That's a
good way of putting it. Okay, marriage is for those who love each other and love Christ.
And love Christ. Male and female. Don't forget that.
Male and female.
If you don't sound funny, we had to put a disclaimer in there.
Do that feel weird to any of y'all brothers? We have to put a disclaimer. Now, we're talking about male and female here.
But the Lord simply puts it in Ephesians 5, 25-32.
What did he say?
He said, husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
That's straightforward.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word.
By the word.
That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself.
They're one.
No man either even yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body. Of his flesh. And of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father.
Man leave his father.
And mother. And shall be joined unto his wife. And they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery.
Great mystery, brother.
But I speak concerning Christ and the church.
That's the mystery of marriage.
That's the whole picture.
Of how two become one.
Erase gender.
That's right.
Erase gender.
Right? But that's what they do. The mystery is that it's a mirror. Marriage is a mirror reflection of Christ's relationship
with
the church.
The church
started before the foundation of the world. He married me.
That's right. He did.
I was part of the bride of Christ. How many y'all realize that?
Amen.
So the relationship on earth is just a takeoff from that which was instituted in heaven.
Amen.
Christ as a male figure, and they've been trying to degenderize him and put a dress on the Lord for a long time.
A long time.
But as you see in that picture, he's the male and we're the female. His church is a bride.
That's right.
Male and female.
Amen.
Very plain.
Husband, submit to your wife.
Yes.
They didn't say anything else.
Yes. Mm-hmm. As unto the Lord.
As unto the Lord.
Same thing. As we submit to him.
That's right.
As above, so below.
Amen. Husband, love your wife. He gave his life. He gave his life now. We got to realize that nobody take his life, but he gave his life for his bride.
Read Jeremiah 3:14 quickly.
Jeremiah 3:14.
Read that quickly, brother.
Yes, Jeremiah 3.
See, the marriage, to be a marriage, Christ must be included, brothers.
You
cannot get married. For number one, two men can't get married, and two women can't get married.
That wouldn't be a mystery.
It's a mess, but it ain't a mystery.
It's the same flesh, is what I'm saying.
Yes.
Positive and negative. It's got to be a positive and a negative.
Have to come together.
Amen.
Actually, that's true.
Jeremiah 3:14, he said, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord.
Yes.
For I am married unto you.
Unto you.
And I will take you.
Yes.
One of a city.
Uh-huh.
Two of a family.
Yeah, he did that in my family.
And I bring you to Zion. Okay, there you go. That's
he didn't get all of them.
That's what I'm saying. He didn't get everybody.
He didn't marry everybody.
No.
Okay.
He married me.
So the Lord doing some cuddling, too.
He cuddling them out.
Okay.
Much is given, much is required.
Much is required.
He has given us not only a relationship with him, but his truth, his word, he put in our hearts. Mm-hmm. Is that what he's saying?
That's what he's saying.
In your heart. And what you do? You going to sit on it?
Mm.
Are we to sit on this word in our heart? Mm. Or are we to dispense it, to spread it everywhere we go?
Truth, amen.
The truth of God.
Christ, mm-hmm. Christ answered that in one of the parables, Pastor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, the parable of the talents he gave. One, five, one, ten. And right. We want to know what you did with it.
Okay.
There you go. We can apply it
the same way. That's right. Yeah. Because God has given us his word. That's the most valuable thing we have as believers, is the word of God.
The word amen. Of God.
The word of God, brother. And we cannot revert back to worldly techniques in solving these problems.
That's right.
That we have.
Amen.
We must proclaim Jesus Christ as the only amen. Way, the only amen. Truth, the only life. God called us to do that. Amen?
Amen. Well, then a problem with the world, Pastor. Okay. The big problem is they're looking for an answer to a question that's already been answered.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Well,
you can't. There's no answer. What are you looking for?
You can take Webster's Dictionary and give us a new abridged update thing on it, but you can't update this word, brother.
No. That's right.
That's what they're trying to do. No. They still trying to say it's a man's book.
Yeah.
Yeah. And therefore, since it's a man's book, we can update, you know, as the deranged men see fit, you know. But now, the great evil and danger of fornication in the world today, because like I said, our sexual sins start with fornication. Mine did, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Mm-hmm. I graduated from there to the pornography and all the rest of this kind of stuff. It was after I had tasted first blood, you know. But the great evil is that we don't preach against it from the pulpit. Catch fornication. Catch it while they're young.
Amen.
While I'm putting on little Joanne pigtail there.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I mean, you know, if I'm putting on a pigtail, you know I ain't putting on it for nothing, you know. Yeah. I mean, we've all been kids.
That's right.
And
amen.
And some boys are all boys.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are half boys.
Yeah. All that.
Some of them, see,
and we need to deal with it from all angles, both of those angles.
Amen.
You know, boy, why is your wrist bent like that? Let me come in and let me talk to you about how a man conducts himself.
Right, right.
See, we need to straighten that up, and that'll kill a lot of that confusion about not knowing. Mm-hmm. Well, I was 12 before I knew if I was a boy or girl.
If we simply just teach about fornication, we can cover sexuality in the same breath.
Right, in the same breath. But it starts there,
right?
Because even at 12 and 13 years old, like I said, if you're a real boy,
right?
If you're a real boy, and I was a real boy,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh? I mean, I was chasing at 12 and 13,
right?
And Mama kept telling me, "Boy, you better be cool." Right. Before you get a baby around and mess around
with
they wouldn't come right in and say, "Hey, you better abstain."
Right.
But they said a little thing about, you know, keep cool. Keep it in your pocket, all that kind
of
stuff.
But Kevin, you know, you can't teach about fornication.
Okay.
You know, like the Bible says, Satan can't cast out Satan.
Whoa.
So if the brother deacon is fornicating, he can't teach me about fornication. If the Reverend Doctor, Pastor, you know, ain't sustaining, he can't preach to me about fornication.
That's right. And I'll tell y'all a real story, brother. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you a real story. Church I was in, and the pastor had a reputation for being a womanizer.
Mm-hmm.
And my pastor, we went to that church, you know, one of the afternoon evening outings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and we all sat together. I sat next to my pastor, and the guy, the preacher was up, and he was saying something about immoral living lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my pastor said, watch it. There's a lady back there in the back. She's going to say something, or she's going to be vocal, or she's going to do something. And true enough, when he started talking about immorality and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
she raised her handkerchief up and just threw it up in there.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And he said, "That's the signal. He better shut up."
Wow.
He better shut up quick.
Did he?
Huh? Yeah, he shut up. That's the signal, because she got the goods on
her.
She had the goods on her. Yeah. See, but a lot of ministers got lockjaw like that. Mm-hmm. And they cannot speak against, like Milton said.
They cannot
speak against immorality when you yourself are living an immoral lifestyle.
We have that very same issue in a lot of our households, Pastor.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Simply because, and when we try and sit down and tell our children or chastise our children about, You better watch it with that little boy, or that little girl,
okay,
or whatever.
Right.
But daddy, you got five children by three, four different women, and wasn't married to none of them, you know. Now, true enough, it's still our obligation to tell our children right.
But that makes it hard. It would have helped. Look, give me John 4, y'all. Here's John 4, 17. It would have helped if his lifestyle had been more exemplary.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Then he could have maybe swallowed that with a little bit more, you know, without having to drink water with it, you know.
Amen.
Go ahead, Brother Pierce, you'll read that for me?
Jesus saith unto
him. Woman at the well. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Go call thy husband.
Okay.
Okay.
And come hither.
Lord,
the woman answered and said, I have no husband.
Okay.
Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said,
okay,
I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband.
Wow.
And thou sayest thou truly.
Five. Ooh. The sexual act that
first
commit.
That's right.
With that young girl.
How God sees.
That show how serious. That's how he's married.
In the book, he writes it down.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. That's your wife or your husband. Yeah.
That's right.
He that's consummation.
Right.
That's consummation.
Two became one.
Oh,
that's right.
Amen.
And you didn't leave your heart in San Francisco.
That's part of the mystery, right?
Amen.
That's part of the mystery right there.
The impartation.
Right.
That's why God said, don't do it. Abstain. You know, stay away from until you make that commitment with the Lord being the head and being
the center of that relationship.
The glue. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know.
Amen.
Otherwise, it is a sin that's going to impart evil into the, oh boy, brother, that's heavy.
That is very heavy.
Two becomes one.
Look at her mentality, though. She's I ain't got no husband. And he answered her in her understanding, yeah, you're right, you don't have a husband.
That's right.
But you have had five. You do have five.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, God, once again, looking in our heart, looking in the inward.
That's right.
Looking in the spiritual things.
That's
right. Talking physical.
Oh, that's right.
But God looked inside of her and saw them soul ties and saw all that damage and chaos.
The damage is there.
That comes from
what you call it. Yeah, damage. See, that's what it. Now we had one. He's considered one of the greatest leaders we've had in this country. Now,
oh boy,
Ronald Reagan.
Yes, yes.
That's who brought us no fault divorce. Well, God gave us a mandate, and He did that because of the wickedness of our hearts.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's
he gave Moses, you give them this bill of divorce now.
Uh-huh.
But the leader of our great nation, President Ronald Reagan, said you ain't gotta have no reason.
And that's right.
He gave us no fault divorce.
And you know that wouldn't be. I don't think that would be any. A whole lot of divorces, period. Not even for the cause of fornication, adultery, whatever the case might be there. But if we hadn't did too much experimenting
before time, like you say,
you had five wives already,
right?
Which consummated in a sexual relationship,
right? Mm-hmm. Right.
Each one of them got a little bit of your heart.
That's
too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you attached those people.
Mm-hmm.
You may not be physically there, but something spiritually.
That's right.
That's right. Not in a spiritual way now.
Amen.
Is that to haunt you?
That's true.
Is that to keep you from giving 100% of yourself to that mate that you're with now?
That's it. You promised you would.
And see, Tony, you got to remember, too, Reagan gave you that right of divorcement because he wanted one, too.
Good, that is true.
Well, guys, I enjoyed this. I believe Mr. Dudley going to get us put off the air.
But now, at the same time, and think about this guy.
if you've been with
several
women, say five or six women, and you finally meet this young lady who's right, look at all this you potentially have to measure up to. What you looking for? I want you to do a little bit of what number one did, a lot of what number three did.
It's better than you did. And number three was a show no kisser.
Yeah, and that got us all tied up. Right. Bound.
Just called the danger so, of that.
And God would write y'all. Can you see how we would avoid and could avoid a lot of the chaotic situation we got in our society in our families and church today?
That's why I'm so against hearing children. I'm talking young ages, 15, 16, my girlfriend, my boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
We don't need that. We don't need that in our children.
No,
that's just a precursor
to
other things that they can't handle.
That's right.
Almost 50, and I've been, you got to deal with these inner things on the back end before the Lord when it could have been prevented.
Right. Well, I tell you what, I used to frown at them foreigners and, you know, how hard they were on, tight on their daughters.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
But I understand why they were tight on them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Wolves like me and you. You know, I mean, good Lord.
You just said God is right. God's word is right. Now, you know, back when, in Old Testament, when he had the Israelite, who picked the husband for the daughter?
The dad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Word, that's right.
That's right. that was respect that they gave the father as the head of the family.
Head of the family.
Okay. Cause now that has long gone. That's long gone. Cause most of those fathers were respectable fathers.
Okay, there you go.
You got to pay the cost to be the boss. You know, abstaining from fornication is not talking about trade. Acts 15, quickly. Let's look at that. We'll carry some of this over maybe to next week. Acts 15:18.
Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world.
Okay.
Wherefore my sinners is that we trouble not them.
Okay.
Which from among the Gentiles are turned to God.
Okay.
But that we write unto them.
Tell them what?
That they abstain from pollutions of idols, from fornication, from things strangled, and from blood.
And you know, idols and fornication used to come together.
That's a package deal.
You know, once you get into the fornication, and like the mama said, you got managed now. You're smelling yourself. You know, then you make you become Don Juan all of a sudden. You're the man. You know, and you think the world. They say, every woman wants you.
You're
the bull of wood.
You know.
So they gotta go together. But he said, abstain from fornication.
That's what he said.
We don't teach that, brother.
He said, teaching of the Bible. That's clear biblical teaching.
Shouldn't we teach that today?
Amen. Mm. Amen.
You remember a long time ago. I'm gonna let you go, Kevin. You remember a long time ago? So many people. A lot of people left the Baptist churches, and they went into holiness churches.
Yeah.
Huh? They left the Baptist church and went to holding the church and put on them long dresses. Huh? I mean, a lot of people I knew.
Right.
Because they did not practice sexual, morality. You know, because now we know long dresses don't stop it. We don't learn that too, have we?
But at
least their principle was that, Baptists live any kind of way.
Any kind of way.
Right.
Huh? They go with everybody, wife, everybody, husband. So they went into the holding the church. And the women dressed long dresses, the men was moderately dressed in black suits or whatever the case might be, you know. But we know it ain't clothes, though, right?
No, it's not.
It's got to be in your heart.
That's right.
Got to be in your heart.
But that's encouraging too as well, Pastor, because that shows me that there are some people who do desire to live holy.
That's right. They came out from among them. The Baptists that were set on living immoral lifestyles.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
So that was a good move.
Amen.
Even though it didn't cure the problem. It has to be a hard thing. Amen?
Amen.
Look at 1 Thessalonians. We'll get ready to close out for the day, and we'll take up next week maybe and go a little further. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 4.
Okay. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. In sanctification and honor.
And honor. Wow. And honor.
Possess, control his vessels. Amen.
And I just can't see how you could spin that to read no other way. You just have to omit that. That's why you just have to not deal with
it. And the church has done it. Go ahead, Kevin, what you say?
But look at what comes with it. Sanctification is abstaining from fornication.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we should be able to possess our vessel not only in sanctification and honor.
Mm-hmm.
So honor comes with this.
Yes.
And part of sanctifying is abstaining.
Okay.
But I wanted to say what the Pastor was talking about with idolatry and fornication on Acts.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They tie it together because if you remember, we're the bride of our husbandman Christ.
Right.
So an idol would be spiritual fornication.
Okay, right.
And then, of course, physical fornication.
Right.
We hurt ourselves in our body.
Right.
So that's the comparison. One is spiritual, one is physical.
And usually...
That's why you usually see them in the same.
Right, and usually in the dark rituals, you got sex,
right,
always included.
That's right,
and as well as the idolatries,
right.
Amen.
Right.
Idol worship. Amen. It was like that when Moses came down from the mountain,
hand in hand.
You see one, you see the other one.
That's right,
and mostly you'll find out in the Word of God when you find fornication, you will find idolatry.
Amen.
We'll look at some more scriptures.
Very good observation.
Amen. Next week we'll look at more scriptures and see how God.
Look behind.
It's a gateway. See.
Look behind that curtain in Hollywood. See what you see.
Oh man.
Amen. Praise God. Tony, Brother Tony, we will ask you that. Ask God bless. No, this has been a great broadcast, and we thank God for our listeners.
Amen.
We pray God will touch the hearts of our people in the church, especially because we have a great responsibility.
Amen.
And that is not only to preach God's word, teach God's word,
amen,
but to live God's word.
Amen.
To let our light shine, that men might see our light and glorify the Father which is in heaven. That's what we want to pray for, that God will touch. Amen.
Amen.
Tony, God bless you.
All right, dear eternal God.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for this time that you allotted us, Father, to share your word.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord.
Father, we know for all sin is grievous against you, Lord. And we just ask that you prepare hearts to hear this word that you brought upon us, Father,
to spread abroad. Yes, Lord.
We ask, Lord, that you have people to accept this word in truth,
Lord.
Father,
by your spirit, Lord.
And let them know, Father, there's nothing that we only saying what you say, Father.
Yes, Lord. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord.
And just give them the thought, give them the will, Father, to come to you,
Lord,
with whatever problems they may have with your word.
Yes, Lord.
And at the end of the day, Father, we know that's all that'll stand. We ask you to help each one of us accept it, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you once again
for allowing us
this time, Lord, to share it. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.